A couple of people visiting this morning that I want to acknowledge. The Joneses are here from Macon. It's great to see you guys. And also, Brenda Robertson's daughter is here. She's a disciple in the Boston Church. Mercedes, can I have you stand up? Welcome to Atlanta. It's great to see everybody this morning. You know, one of the biggest money-making ventures today is people who dish out advice. If you go into a bookstore, there's a huge section on self-help, and you can get advice on almost everything. And we also like to give advice, okay? So sometimes we're on the giving end and sometimes we're on the receiving end. And I did a search. I said, okay, let me just find out what kind of advice that is out there that people are giving. And I'm just going to read out a few of them as we get started this morning. One says, never ask anyone to do what you are not willing to do yourself. That's good advice. Another one is be yourself. Live today like it's your last day. In order to be happy in your life, you need to make yourself happy first. I like this one. If you want to start a business, ask yourself if someone already in that business will hire you to run theirs. If the answer is no, don't attempt the venture. Another one says, always be true to yourself. Don't compromise your beliefs. Another one says, always say what you mean and mean what you say. I like this one. Food has no calories if nobody sees you eat it. Don't stress over things you have no control. Hugs are free, so give as many as you can. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Never give up. Don't bite off more than you can chew. And it goes on. There's a lot of advice out there. But this morning, I want to talk about the advice that King David gave his son Solomon at the end of his life. Because as far as I'm concerned, that is the advice we need to be giving our kids, and we need to be giving to everyone who would listen to us. I've titled this morning's lesson, A Father's Advice. 1 Kings chapter 2, A Father's Advice. In 1 Kings chapter 2, the Bible says, when the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. I am about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong. Show yourself a man and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements, as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. And obviously it goes on, but we'll stop right there. David is called a man after God's own heart in the scriptures. And here he is at the end of his life. He's given advice, he's given a charge to his son Solomon. He starts off by saying, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. He's saying, you know, basically, you know what? My time to leave this world, my time to die is fast approaching. But I want you to notice the calmness in his voice. Most people fear death. Most people, when they get to this point in their life, they're terrified. David, on the other hand, is very, very calm. Why is that, you may ask? It's because he understands what's on the other side. He understood the God that he has served all his life. And yes, he wasn't perfect. But he knew that, you know what? Living this world, I'm going to the other side and I'm going to go be with God. And I like this. I really like this. I pray that when my time comes, I pray that when your time comes, you will face your eternity with this kind of calmness. You know, I mean, listen to the words we just heard. But the fact that we're going home. This is not home, like the Bible teaches us. We're strangers and foreigners in this world. Are you with me? And because of our relationship with God, because we know God, because we are God's children, we have nothing to be afraid of. Amen, church? Amen. That when our time comes, that we will go peacefully and calmly. A man named McLaren wrote, "Why should we be pensive when we think how near our end is? Is the century sad as the hour for the living God comes nigh? Is the wanderer in far-off land sad as he turns his face homeward? And why should not we rejoice at the thought that we, strangers and foreigners here, shall soon depart to the true metropolis, the mother country of our souls? I do not know why a man should be either regretful or afraid as he watches the hungry sea eating away his bank and shoal of time upon which he stands. Even though the tide has hauled but reached his feet, if he knows that God's strong arm will be stretched forth to him at the moment when the sand dissolves from under him, and it will draw him out of many waters and place him on high above the floods in that stable land where there is no more sea." You see, you and I should be very strong even as we face our death. He goes on, he says, "Be strong and show yourself a man." He's not talking about gender here. He says, "Be strong and show yourself a man." He's talking about character. By observing the Lord your God, what your Lord your God requires. He says, "Walk in his ways and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me." He goes on, he says, "If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel." I mean, think about that for a second. He's given Solomon advice. He's given him a charge. He says, if you walk according to God's laws, if you live according to the precepts of Moses, he says, you will never have a person, there will never come a time when somebody will not be on the throne of Israel. I mean, think about that, what that means even for us today. If Solomon had kept his charge, Israel will have a king today. Do you see that? You see, what we're talking about is passing on this love of God to the next generation and to the generation after that. Amen? But it starts with us. In terms of what we're calling ourselves to and what we're calling our kids to. He says, follow God and not your own ways. Why? Could it be David remembered the mistakes he had made in his life. And he's basically saying to his son Solomon, I don't want you to make the same mistakes I made. Now, God is a merciful God. We all know that from Scripture. David, a man after God's own heart, committed adultery. He committed murder. And when he repented, God forgave him. Amen? Now, you say, well, I can go ahead and do anything I want then. No. You got it all backwards. You can't go out and deliberately sin and then say, God, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. Are you with me? You and I are sinners, and we will sin. But the amazing thing is, you know, when we sin, God will forgive us if we're truly repentant. If we truly turn around and say, you know, God, man, I'm sorry. And I'm not going to do that again. And then you turn, God will forgive you. He's a merciful God. He's an awesome God, amen? But you see, David didn't want Solomon to make the same mistakes he had made. You know, you think about it, what is experience that older people have? All it is that we've made some mistakes through the years of being on this earth, and we've learned from those mistakes. That's all experience is. Okay? So, I know there are a lot of young people in the crowd, when you hear that you have no experience, that's all that is. You've not lived enough to make certain mistakes and learn from them. I promise you, you will. Okay? I guarantee it. That's what experience is. And we need to pass down these experiences to our children, to the next generation. Amen? Very, very important. We must be passing down these lessons. The question is, what kind of legacy are we going to leave behind? What kind of legacy are you going to leave behind? What kind of advice are we giving people? Now, don't get me wrong. Even some of those things I read earlier, that's great advice in a lot of ways. But if we're not talking to people about drawing close to God and living according to God's word, because that is how they are going to prosper. That is where prosperity comes from. Are you with me? We're just dishing out a bunch of self-help stuff. If God is not in the picture, if God is not all what you and I are talking about, are you with me? Advice is good, but the question is, what kind of advice are we giving? And where is it coming from? And where is it leading people to? You don't go consult a carpenter when you got a plumbing job. I'm sorry. Now, you could. I don't think they're going to do a great job for you. If your computer is broken, you don't go call somebody who vacuums carpets. He doesn't know what to do. So advice is good. But you also got to remember, where is the advice coming from? Are you with me? You see, it's all about God. It's all about passing down everything we know about God down to the next generation, down to our kids. I never forget getting on a plane, September of 1980. Pan Am, Boeing 747, coming to America to go to school. My mother looked at me. She said, stay close to God. The God who has brought us this far will not abandon you, will never abandon you. And I remember getting on that plane and obviously coming over here to go to school. Last Saturday, my wife and I had a chance to take our daughter to school. Now, praise God, we didn't have to get on the plane. Emily is just 30 minutes down the road. But we put all our stuff in the car, in two cars, and she asked, so, which car am I riding? I said, you're in my car. And so she got in. And you better believe, all the way to Emory, I was talking to her. I wasn't talking about, oh yeah, you got to get good grades and all these different things. And I know she's going to do that. But I was talking to her about God. I've been talking to her about God all her life. That's all I kept on talking about. Stay close to God. If you get that right, everything else would take care of itself. I know some of us, you know, our kids are grown up and, you know, they've left the home and everything, and that's fine, you know. But you never stop being a parent. We need to continue to talk to them about what God is doing in our lives and what God will do for them. Are you with me? It's an ongoing thing. It doesn't stop. It should never stop. You know, one of my favorite passages in the Bible also is Isaiah 55. Go ahead and turn there. Hold your place in 1 Kings. We're coming back. In Isaiah 55, you see, because sometimes I think as parents, we think, oh, I've said this and I've said this and I've said this and I've said this. They're not hearing me. They don't get it. Let me encourage you with this passage. Look at this. In Isaiah 55, in verse 10, it says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Verse 11. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And the church said, amen. That's powerful. So you may think, man, they're not listening to me. They're not hearing me. God's word, the Bible says, is not going to return empty. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not next month. I promise you. All the stuff you've said, all the scriptures you've quoted, it will go out and accomplish what God has desired for it. Amen? So we need to continue to talk about God and encourage our children to stay close to God and encourage everyone to stay close to God. Amen? Now go back to 1 Kings. Again, Solomon is saying to David, walk in God's ways, keep his commands. It is not easy to follow God. It is not easy to live according to the scriptures. If it was, everybody would be doing it. It takes character. It takes conviction to say, you know what? I am not going to get drunk. I'm not going to live that kind of life. It takes character to say, you know what? I am not going to lie. No matter what happens, I will not lie. Even if it costs me my job. I am not going to steal. I am not going to lust. It takes character to live according to the scriptures. It's not easy. It never has been. It never will be. Amen? You know, there are great examples in the scriptures. You can write these down. Enoch, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, this guy lived 300 years. The Bible says he walked with God. Noah, you know the story? When God looked down and saw that the wickedness of man had increased all over the earth, and says, you know, I'm about to wipe them out. But he found an exception. He says, Noah walked with God in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Abraham was the same way. Genesis 24, 40. These were men who walked with God. Amen? Are you walking with God? Really? Is walking with God become for you? I go to church on Sunday. I go to church on Thursday night. I give my tithe, whatever. Is that it? Now, don't get me wrong. Those things are fine. As a minister, you know, we committed our lives to Jesus Christ. When the body of Christ meets you, you need to be there. It's that simple. That's what you signed up for. I didn't die for your sins. That's what you signed up with the Almighty. Are you with me? But you see, that's not Christianity. Christianity is a daily walking with the creator of the universe.
where we get up in the morning and we're eager to open up our Bibles. We're eager to talk to the creator of the universe. And like I've said so many times, it amazes me that God would stop to listen to you and me. You can't even get the governor of Georgia to give you an appointment this week. And yet, the king of the universe, you show up anytime, any place. He stops what he's doing and he's listening to you and me. Incredible. And all I'm saying, we got to be taking advantage of it. Amen? That's what it means to walk with God. You say, well, I want to know God better. Well, spend more time with him. That was how I got to know my wife. Before we got married, we spent a lot of time together. And the process, we fell in love. Are you with me? The same thing is true with your relationship with God. The more you read your Bible, the more you pray, the more you're going to love God. Amen? I remember, you know, I went to Sarah, and I tried to, have a date. I said, you know, how about this date, this Saturday? And she goes, you know, that's already booked up. Okay? How about the following Saturday? She says, well, I got a date on that day too, with another brother. I said, how about the next one? She goes, I got another. How about the next one? I say, well, I'm free on that one. I said, okay, put me down for that week. And then put me down for the following Saturday. And for the following Saturday. Based on what her schedule just told me. And that was what I did. And, you know, a few months later, we fell in love. And now I've been married 20 and a half years. Same thing is true with your walk with the Lord. Now, I know you guys, some of you young people are going, oh, that's the way Mr. Richard did it. That's the way I'm going to do it. I did not say that. Okay? I did not say that. You want to go steady? Amen. But seek some advice. I sought advice. Okay? That was the advice Mike Tolliver gave me. I'm not kidding. He said to me, take her out every week. But amen. I'm thankful. That was the advice I got. But you see, the point is, that's the way you stay in love with somebody. Amen? It's by staying engaged in that relationship. It's amazing to me, when you read through, for instance, 1 Kings and 2 Kings and 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, all the kings of Israel, they will tell you their name very quickly, and they will tell you whether they walk with God or not. And there were very few that really walked with God. In other words, there were very few good kings. Most of them were evil because they didn't walk according to, quote-unquote, the ways of David. Are you with me? That's how most of them are described. I remember one time, one of my Bibles, I went back, and I was trying to do it this morning. I just went back, and on each king, I would just put good or bad or evil. It can be very depressing because you see each one, evil, 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 evil. And then the good one comes in. Then evil, evil. I mean, it was terrible. Based on whether they were following this or not. Are you with me? You see, the question is, are we walking in God's ways? You know, if we don't walk in God's ways, that means obviously we're walking in the devil's ways. That's the alternative. You say, no, I'm just doing my own thing. I'm just living my own life. No, you lie. You're either following God or you're following the devil. There's no in between. Let's just be honest. You know, nobody likes to brag. Oh, yeah. Yes, I'm actually following the devil. No, nobody talks like that. You are either in or out. Amen? But you see, the person we're following, the person we're walking according to his laws or precepts is going to determine where we end up. Like I've said so many times, this is not a game. We get only one chance at this life.
The choices we make now will determine our ultimate destination. You know, is there any wonder? Flip one page to 1 Kings chapter 3. Is there any wonder when, after David dies, God shows up and is actually talking to Solomon in a dream? He had gone to Gibeon to offer sacrifices. And in verse 5, 1 Kings chapter 3, it says, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream and asked him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Notice, there are no conditions given to him. God says, ask for whatever you want me to give to you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my servant David. Your servant David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued his great kindness to me, to him, and have given him a son to sit on his throne to this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count on number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? We'll stop right there for now. I got to be honest. If that was me, ain't no way I'm asking for wisdom. I'm just being honest with you. God says to me, Richard, ask me for whatever you want. Right now, I mean, I gave some thought to this. I said, what would I ask for? I'm a preacher, I'm a minister. All I want is a lot of people to have the opportunity to go to heaven. And for God to give me the money to do it. Are you with me? That's what I would ask for right now. What would you ask for? Not that any of those things are bad. But honestly, what would you ask for? Solomon asked for wisdom. God was so impressed. God says, you know what? You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for the death of your enemies. Because you asked me for wisdom, guess what? I'm going to make you so wise that there will be nobody who will be your equal. Solomon, according to scripture, is known as the wisest man that has ever lived. People would travel from far and wide to come and listen to him. Incredible. God says, you know what? I'm going to give you all this kind of wisdom, and guess what? I'm going to give you a lot of money to boot. And he gave him a lot of money. He had so much wealth, he didn't know what to do with himself. I believe Solomon remembered what David had said to him. He says, you know what? Here I am taking care of your children, your people, Israel. Give me wisdom that I may do this. And God gave it to him. Now, obviously, as you read on, he goes out and has 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's 1,000 women. You do the math. That is a lot of women. Let me say that one more time. That's a lot of women. For one guy. I don't know what he was thinking. I think he lost his mind. But you know, the sad thing is the Bible tells us that those women turned his heart away from God. You know, when God says, one man, one wife, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, he knows what he's talking about. One is all we can handle. Amen to that? I mean, sometimes even today you hear about people, you know, they have 2-3 wives, you know, in some cultures, you know, people are able to have 3-4 wives. I don't know how to do it. I'm serious. It's like, are you kidding me? I don't have your mind. It's not easy just having one wife. It's not easy just having one husband. I mean, am I lying? You married? I mean, come on, talk to me.
I know you know what I'm talking about. But this guy went out and messed up. Now the jury's still out. Because I believe that if Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes at the end of his life, I believe he made it. But we don't know. Again, you go read Ecclesiastes, which he wrote at the end of it, in chapter 12. It says, here's the bottom line. Fear God and keep his commandments. He remembered what his father told him. Amen? He remembered. I mean, think about it. If he had simply followed God and, you know, passed that down to the next generation and that got passed down, Israel will have a king today. Now, just think about that. And so the question I'm asking us today is, what kind of legacy are we going to leave behind? What kind of advice are we dispensing to people? Is God in the picture all the time? Amen? I'm not saying it's wrong to tell people to be themselves or to not bite more than they can chew or all that stuff. But God has got to be in the middle of it. And you and I should never be ashamed of that. When they look at you and, oh, here we go again. She's going to start quoting me some scripture. Here we go again. He's going to show me something in the Bible. What else am I going to show you? Dr. Phil ain't going to get you to heaven. Oprah's advice is not going to get you to heaven. This will help us in our walk with the Lord. Amen? That's why this is all we need to be talking about and passing down. That's what it's all about. Because death is imminent for all of us. One day we are not going to be here. The question is, what kind of legacy are we going to leave behind? I still remember the things that my grandfather taught me as a young man. He was a lay Anglican minister. I still remember to this day. I still remember what my uncle taught me, who lived directly across from us, who was also a minister. And I would go to church with him in the mornings and in the evenings. He used to look awesome in those cassocks, and I was like, man, I want to grow up and wear one of those. Obviously, I didn't know what being a minister was. I just thought, man, he looks cool, man. Give me one of those. You know, all the way down, black, nice looking. And he would get up there, you know, in the Anglican church where I grew up. And, you know, he would mount the rostrum. And the place where you place his Bible, there was like a golden eagle with his wings to the back. And he would place the Bible on there, elevated above everybody else. And so he's looking down as he's preaching. And I'm looking and go, wow, I want to do that. I want to talk about God. I want to help people get to heaven. And this is when, as I grew up, and people started talking to me about the ministry, I was like, oh, I don't want to hear that. But growing up, believe me, the seeds these men planted, something inside of me told me I was going to be a preacher. That's the truth. But you see, the question is, what legacy are we going to leave behind? You know, I'm so encouraged because I know, you know, on Sundays we come in, we have an adult class, and then we go grab our kids and we bring them in. You know, we worship God together. You know, we adults take care, you know, we take communion, and the kids hear me preach. Let me tell you something. These kids are listening. They're listening. And when you and I are far gone, when we're gone, they are going to remember all this stuff. They will, because I remembered mine. You know, I got a card. One of the cards I got on my birthday, they were very, very encouraging, all the cards I got. But I got one from Jade. She made it herself, just a piece of paper, in pencil. And I asked her if I could do this. She said it was okay. But I remember, you know, grabbing all the cards after getting home that day and just reading them one by one. And when I got to hers, I choked up.
Like I said, I have it right here. It says Holy Bible in front of it. Created by Jade at the bottom. And I opened it up, and she had me cracking up first. She says, Jade chapter 5, verse 12. And it reads, after all the years, I've loved and cherished you. I have never wanted to disappoint you or let you down. She spells disappoint, D-I-S-I-P-O-I-N-T. And she writes, the best part of being around you is that I know that you're going to heaven. Live your life and cherish it forever. And she signs it, love Jade, happy 50th. My heart just sank. You know, there are days when things are tough and, you know, I wonder if I'm having an impact. I wonder if people are even listening. You know, when I read stuff like this, it helps me know that, you know what? Even the kids are getting it. And it keeps me going. Jade, I love you. Thank you so much for this card. Thank you for allowing me to read this. I love all of our kids. I consider them mine. This is our village. We gotta help each other get each other to heaven. That's why we're here. Let's make sure that the advice and the charge that we're giving each other and that we're giving to our kids and we're passing down is calling each other and calling our kids and calling strangers to walk according to God's laws. Then prosperity will follow. Amen? Not that we're not going to have any problems, but that God will see us through every single one of them. God bless.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here, to have a chance to worship you. Father, to have a chance to sing songs to you, to listen to classes, Father. Father, I pray so much that you help us have faith as small as a mustard seed, God, and believe in your word, Father. Help us trust that, Father, what you say in your word is true, that your word will not return empty, Father. I pray so much that you help us listen to the advice that David gave Solomon, Father, and truly walk in your ways every day for the rest of our life, Father. That, Father, will not treat your word like just a book, but, Father, it will be truly your word, the inspired word of the King of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, Father. Father, help us trust you. Help us follow you. Father, give us heart, Father, that are righteous. Give us hearts that are willing to follow you. Give us heart like David's, God, hearts after your own heart, Father. Please help us be pure and righteous and holy, Father. Father, come and guide us and be with us for the rest of this day. Be with us for the rest of this week, Father. Come and guide us and lead us. I pray in your name, in your name, Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.